Discover the truth in His Word.
What is heaven? Does it even exist? If so, where is it? And what is it like there? Some people don't believe in heaven. Others say there are three heavens, or even seven. Some say you go to heaven when you die. Others say, no, you go to a place called purgatory first, then maybe heaven later. Some say heaven is not a real place, but just a state of mind. There are those who believe that eventually everybody will end up in heaven. But others say very few people will make it there. So much confusion. So many opinions. Why all these different opinions about heaven? Why all the varying opinions and theories when the Bible makes it crystal clear? In fact, do you know that the Bible is full of details about heaven? God wants us to know what heaven is like, so we will desire to be there. Heaven is not a secret place that God is keeping from us. In many large buildings, there are keys that fit each lock on each door. But usually the owner or superintendent of the building also has one key that fits all the doors. This key is called the master key. God also has a master key that unlocks the description of heaven, the Bible. It is our only reliable source of information. Fortunately, we don't have to depend on man's theories or opinions. We have the master key. The Apostle Peter wrote about this source of information. We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the morning star arises in your heart. 2 Peter 1:19. It may surprise you, but God has revealed in His Word where heaven will be, what heaven will be like, where its capital will be, what people will do there, what people will be like, where the saved will live, what the capital city will look like. Now let's take God's master key, the Bible, and discover a very real future that God has prepared for His followers. While the disciple John was exiled on the small rocky isle of Patmos, 6 miles long and 3 miles wide, located in the Aegean Sea, God gave him a preview of the future in a vision. Afterwards, John wrote what he had seen. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Revelation 21, verses 1 and 2. Few illustrations present such happiness and beauty as that of a bride preparing for her wedding day. This city is not just something that John saw and knew about. It was something known by all of God's people throughout the ages. We will come back later to a very detailed description of this new Jerusalem that John saw. God tells us that all of His holy prophets have spoken about His plan of restoration. Listen. And He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things which God hath spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. Acts 3, verses 20 and 21. What is God going to restore? God is going to restore what Adam and Eve had lost. The earth had just come from the hands of the Creator in all of its splendor and perfection, beautiful beyond description. The Creator Himself had designed and decorated Adam and Eve's home, the Garden of Eden, a paradise from pole to pole. God had given them the dominion of the earth. They had perfect health, love, happiness, joy, and face-to-face fellowship with God. Everything was peace and harmony. They would never get sick or die if they chose to obey God's instructions. And His instructions were, "Don't eat of the forbidden tree in the Garden of Eden, or you will die." But they chose to eat of the tree. they'd listen to a ruthless, conniving, rebel angel, Satan, rather than listening to a loving, caring God. For the first time in their lives, they felt guilty, ashamed, and afraid. It was the most tragic day in the history of planet Earth. By their disobedience, they had lost everything. Their garden home, their dominion of planet Earth, access to the Tree of Life. Without eating of the Tree of Life, they would eventually die. No longer masters, Adam and Eve made themselves slaves. Paul said, "Don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey?" Romans 6:16. A loving, caring God understood. The serpent deceived Eve, and Adam couldn't bear to be parted from her forever. God loved them so much, he couldn't leave his erring children to live without any hope. At the gates of the garden, God promised Adam and Eve that one day his son, the seed of the woman, would come and die for them so they could be restored to the family of God and have eternal life. "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Genesis 3:15. As generations passed and men multiplied on earth, sin also multiplied. Mankind had almost forgotten God and his promise. People became vile and immoral. And the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Genesis 6:5. It was necessary for God to destroy the wicked by the great flood in order to preserve life on the earth. Only 8 people survived. After the great flood, it wasn't many generations that people became corrupt again. In order to preserve a holy people on earth, God called Abraham and his family out of the idolatrous and corrupt Ur of the Chaldees. His family would have become wicked also had they stayed in that city. The Lord said to Abraham, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing." Abraham was willing to leave the luxury of the Chaldees, not knowing where he was going, because he had a glimpse of what God had in store for him. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac, Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations whose builder and maker is God. Hebrews 11:9 and 10. God promised to give to Abraham and his children all that Adam and Eve lost. The prophets of all ages believed and looked forward to the restoration of all things. God lists some of the Bible's Hall of Faith people in Hebrews chapter 11. Abraham, Enoch, Noah, Abel, Isaac, Rahab, David, Samuel, just a few of the great people of faith in God's promise of a restoration of what Adam and Eve lost. Notice what the Bible says about these heroes. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Isaiah, the greatest of all the messianic prophets, gives us a thrilling description in the Old Testament of the restoration God has prepared. And John the Revelator gives many thrilling prophecies concerning the restoration of all things in the New Testament. Let's take a look at the things God revealed to Isaiah. "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind." Isaiah 65:17. Again, "Violence shall no more be heard in the land, wasting or destruction within thy border, but thou shalt call the walls salvation and the gates praise." Isaiah 60:18. Just think, no violence there. Just peace and harmony. Isn't that wonderful? No need for keys and locks, burglar alarms, safe deposit boxes, no rapists or muggers. And won't it be awesome to walk those streets of gold and not worry about thieves? But that isn't all that the prophets can tell us. Again, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with a kid or baby goat, and a little child shall lead them. Isaiah 11:6. The Bible has many things to say about planet Earth when it is restored to its Edenic beauty. And the inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. No heart attacks, no cancer, no allergies, just perfect health for eternity. Isn't that great news? Wow! Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. Isaiah 35:5. No doubt, the first thing they will want to see will be the face of Jesus. Oh, what a glorious day that will be for those who are blind. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Isaiah 35:5. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart. Isaiah 35:6. No more wheelchairs, no more crutches. Everyone will have perfect bodies. Then shall the tongue of the dumb sing. Isaiah 35:6. Not only will they talk, but they will sing. What a happy day that will be. There is more wonderful, wonderful news. The wilderness and solitary place shall be glad, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. Isaiah 35:1. What a beautiful place the new earth will be. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Isaiah 65:21-22. It certainly sounds like heaven is a real place, with real people doing real things, doesn't it? In fact, we will have our own names, and people will know us. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed, or children, and your name remain. Isaiah 66:22. And it shall come to pass, that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. Isaiah 66:23. The new earth will be a happy place, a joyful place for God and his people. And the ransom of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion, or New Jerusalem, with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Isaiah 35:10. Doesn't that sound exciting? It will be a wonderful, joyful celebration as the saved come each Sabbath to the holy city to praise and sing and have fellowship. Jesus said, He is building us a mansion. We'll enjoy that. But Isaiah said, we would build houses. Well, it seems that we will have a country home that we will build, and that each weekend we will go to the capital of the new earth and use our mansion or condo in the city. It may surprise you that planet Earth is to be the future home of the saved, but it shouldn't. Jesus said, Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Matthew 5:5. God is going to restore planet Earth to its original perfection, and what a glorious new earth that will be. You will remember what wonderful promises that Jesus gave to his disciples and followers of all ages just before he returned to heaven. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. John 14:1-3. The model prayer that Jesus taught his disciples says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Matthew 6:9-13. Here we see that Jesus asks us to pray for the restoration of all things. Now, let's study in detail the magnificent city that John saw in vision on the Isle of Patmos. It seems like the prophet had a hard time finding words that would express the grandeur of the holy city. You might be thinking about the text in the Bible that says, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." 1 Corinthians 2:9. But wait a minute. Most people fail to read the next verse that says, "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit." You see, God has revealed these things to the prophets by his Holy Spirit, who wrote them down for us. And no doubt, the half has not been told. Friends, that's the way it was with John and Isaiah and all the prophets. It's all true. The half has not been told. When John unfolds the details of the holy city, that it's too fabulous to be true. But we have God's word for it. John said he saw a new heaven and a new earth, and there was no more sea. Then he saw the holy city descending out of heaven. He then tells us all about the city. The light of the city was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Revelation 21:11. It had a high wall, 144 cubits, or 216 feet high. Verse 17. There were 12 gates of pearls. Verse 21. There are pearly gates, and on these gates is written the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. The streets and the city were pure gold, transparent as glass. Verses 18 and 21. The glory of God and his Son will light the city. No need of light from sun or the moon to shine. Verse 23. The 12 foundations had the names of the apostles of Jesus on them and were garnished with all manner of precious stones, much like a rainbow. Verses 19 and 20. There will be a pure river of water of life flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb. On either side is the tree of life, which bears 12 kinds of fruit, a different fruit each month. There will be no night there. Revelation 22:5. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the capital, New Jerusalem. And one of the most wonderful gifts is found in Revelation 21:4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Perhaps you are wondering how big the holy city is. John gives exact details as to the size of the city. And the city is laid out as a square. And he, the angel, measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Revelation 21:16. A furlong is 1/8 of an English mile. Thus 12,000 furlongs would be about 2,400 kilometers around. Ancient cities were measured by the distance around the outside walls. So the city would be approximately 375 miles on each side. And perhaps you're wondering if this city will be large enough for the saved. Tokyo has nearly 35 million people living in the city. Greater New York City houses over 20 million people. Seoul and Mexico City also have nearly 20 million each. One mathematician has estimated that the New Jerusalem could house 2 billion people. In other words, there will be room for everyone who wants to be there. But what will keep us busy in such a wonderful place? No crime, no sickness, just peace and harmony forever. It sounds like we will do a lot of things. Build our country dream home. Plant our vineyards. Jesus the Creator will be there to open to us the mysteries of creation. We will never quit learning new things. We will be able to travel anytime we wish. We will have time to be with our friends and loved ones. And each weekend, we will spend at our city home praising God and singing with the angels and Jesus, our special time to fellowship with our Lord. Well, you may ask, how can we be certain that we can be there? The answer is simple. Yet some people try to make it so complex. The Bible, our master key, says, "And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise." Galatians 3:29. In other words, if you accept Jesus as your Savior and Lord, then you are Abraham's seed and an heir of the promise. As we study the Bible, it's interesting to notice that the first three chapters tell how God created the world and the paradise home for Adam and Eve. But Adam and Eve lost it all. The last three chapters of the Bible give us a preview of God's plan to restore what Adam and Eve lost, a beautiful tomorrow where our fondest dreams will come true. Friend, are you homesick for heaven? Don't you want to be there? God gives you the invitation. The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." Revelation 22:17. Don't put it off. You can be a part of God's fabulous tomorrow. Invite Him into your heart, and heaven will be your home.
There were three crosses raised on Calvary.